Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. Yesterday on the program, we began a discussion about whether or not there is a top number one prize in terms of eternal reward. And we didn't quite finish that discussion, so we're going to do that today. Now, by the way, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you'd like to get your questions answered, you can send us a message through email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's go right to today's finishing discussion on this topic with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning back to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're answering your questions, but really we're continuing from yesterday's show. Noel asked a question about 1 Corinthians 9:24 and running for the prize, and we started talking about whether or not eternal rewards is a competition. Noel asked, is there a competition between believers to get the number one prize as if there was only one prize to win? Because that's kind of suggested by Paul's illustration in 1 Corinthians 9, where in the Isthmian Games there was only one person who won the prize. But was that Paul's point? Just to recap, Bob, you were saying, no, that wasn't his point.
No, and to expand on what we talked about, there are going to be countries to rule over. Church age believers who were faithful, who were overcomers, who finished the race, are going to rule over these various countries. Now, right now, there's, what is the number, Sean? Is it 197?
197. 197. We play this game where we try to name all the countries in the world.
So let's assume that when Christ returns, there are going to be approximately 197 countries. Let's just round it off to 200. Well, that's at least 200 rulers, right? But then on top of that, we know that there will be sub-rulers. For example, in Israel, we know there'll be at least 12 sub-rulers, right? Because the 12 apostles are going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. But wait a minute, there's going to be more sub-rulers than that because there will be people ruling under the 12 apostles.
And by the way, some people are going to be saying, what are you talking about?
I know.
Well, you can read about it in Revelation chapter 21. You'll get hints of it there. This is
especially
the
verse 24. Read 21, 24.
Yeah, yes. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There will be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Basically, the point is there are going to be nations. There's multiple nations, and it's more like ethnicities, groups, tribes.
Right.
You know?
Well, it could be translated Gentiles, but the same word is also translated nations, and I think nations is the right word here. We have mention of countries that'll be in the millennium, like Ethiopia is going to be in the millennium, Egypt will be in the millennium. There's lots of countries that are mentioned. Now, the United States isn't mentioned in the Bible, but it's reasonable to assume the United States will be one of those countries. Canada, the 197 countries we have today, likely most or all of them will be in the kingdom. Look at it today. How many people rule in the United States of America? I don't have a good idea. I'm sure it's in tens of thousands of people, right?
If not millions. I
right.
Mean, just, yeah.
Well, I mean, paid for by federal and state governments, millions. Right.
Right.
So if you call all those people rulers, it might be well over a million of 330 million people. And that's going to be true on pretty much every country. So there's going to be lots of people ruling. The top spot is Jesus. None of us are going to get that.
Yeah.
And the number two spot, according to Ezekiel, is David.
David.
Right. And evidently the next 12 spots are the apostles, because ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel is going to be the choice spots. And beyond that, you've still got a few other apostles. You've got Paul, you've got Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say James, the brother of Jesus, was also an apostle. That's questionable, but maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But they're certainly going to have key positions of authority.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're competing for any of the top spots. And Paul's not talking about top spots in 1 Corinthians 9:24 that Noel was asking about. Now, he asked, are we competing? And the answer is no, we're not competing against others. Let's look at a passage. He was talking about 1 Corinthians 9. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:1-5. And I think this brings an answer to his question.
All right. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. All right, there's a little bit of New King James awkwardness here that,
yes,
that confuses me a little bit. Maybe it confuses,
sure,
people. So what are we seeing here?
Well, basically, Paul is talking about, when he says human court, the Greek word is day. It's translated court because he's thinking of the day of Christ, which is the judgment seat of Christ. Mm. And he's saying, I'm concerned about the judgment seat of Christ, not any human day, whether he appears before Caesar or whether he's executed by Rome, which ultimately he was. That wasn't his concern.
Right.
And notice he's not comparing himself to others. He's not saying, I'm going to be judged based on what somebody else does and how I do in comparison.
Right.
He's only concerned about maximizing his own service for Christ. Basically, when he says at the end, then each one's praise will come from God, I have an article people can read on our website at faithalone.org about this verse, and it's not saying that every believer is going to be praised. What it's saying is every faithful believer is going to be praised.
If you're going to get praised.
Right. Because it's required in the steward, he said, to be faithful. So if you are faithful, you're going to be praised. Now, how faithful will you be? Well, we have other passages that tell us that, for example, in the parable of minas in Luke 19, some are going to rule over 10 cities and some over 5 cities. And this suggests there's going to be a whole range of rulership, all the way from ruling over a big country to ruling over a small city in a small country.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be ranges of authority, and the Lord's going to determine that based on how faithful were we.
And by the way, if people find this a strange idea, what is this rule? Don't we just go to heaven and sit on a cloud and play harps?
No.
Just think about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. And this is the creation of man, and it's kind of like the purpose statement of man. What did God create
us to
do?
What did he create
us to do? He created us to rule. Rule over this. Rule over the fish of the sea.
Dominion's the word, right?
Yes.
Have dominion.
It has rule. It has dominion. Depends on your translation.
Right.
But that is what God created us to do. That is plan A. And that is the plan that God is going to get back to, starting with the millennium and then continuing on to the eternal state. We were created to rule over God's creation. And so that's what's going to happen. So this shouldn't be weird to you. All you have to do is read the first chapter of the Bible, and that idea is already there.
When I was in seminary, I was in a class with Zane Hodges, and it was a Greek class on the book of Hebrews. And we were maybe in the second or third class, and I raised my hand and I said, I notice you're talking all about eternal rewards. You're seeing it in all these verses. We all know that there's only two major passages dealing with eternal rewards in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15, and 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27.
Mm-hmm.
And he responded and he said, no, Bob, that's not quite right. In fact, that's quite wrong.
Right.
He said, I would venture to say there's almost not a page in the New Testament that doesn't teach about eternal rewards.
And you can tie ruling to that. I mean, again, think to the Old Testament. What did Abraham end up doing? He's
right,
starting a nation. What did Joseph end up doing? Ruling over Egypt. What did Daniel end up doing? Ruling over Persia and Babylon. What did David end up doing? Ruling over Israel. What did Esther end up doing? I mean, ruling, God raising up his people to rule over things is a constant theme in Scripture.
Absolutely. You get it all the way through Scripture. And if you read Hebrews 11, it's all about Moses gave up the treasures in Egypt because he was looking for the reward.
Right.
And you've got Abraham looking for the New Jerusalem, and he's
right,
looking to not only be in it, but be one of the rulers
right,
in the New Jerusalem. And you've got all these people in Hebrews 11 talking about the Old Testament saints who believed in eternal rewards.
Right. I've met people who hear this idea, and they kind of turn back from it. You know, they don't like the idea.
Well, it sounds selfish.
It sounds selfish, or it's like, that's not really what I want. I don't want to rule over a city. That's not something that I want for myself. In which case, the answer is, I'm not really surprised. There's a lot of things you need to renew your mind about.
And the other thing is, if God created us to have dominion, and we say, well, I don't want to have dominion, then we're saying, I don't want to do what God wants me
to do.
Well,
yeah, you're just in the position of Adam and Eve again. And Adam and Eve, remember, they're told to rule over the animals. And who's the one that tricked them into...
Yeah, the serpent.
An animal tricked them. They were supposed to rule over that serpent, but they didn't.
He ruled over them.
And he ruled over them, and the consequences were disastrous. The same is true for you. If you don't want to rule with Christ, well, you're just exhibiting that attitude that Adam and Eve had, that sinful attitude, and that's something you need to change.
Exactly.
Right?
And here's another thing. It's not accurate to say the only thing people will do in the kingdom is rule with Christ.
Right.
But... it is accurate to say one of the most important things people will do is to be part of Christ's rule and to be co-rulers under him.
Right.
Now, there will be many other things that we do, and I've written about this in my book, The Road to Reward. I talk about the difference between treasure, laying up treasure in heaven, which is instant. As soon as you do a good work, you lay it up. And perseverance prizes, which is ruling with Christ. And also there are certain rewards that go along with that.
Right.
And people can check that out at our website, see the book, The Road to Reward. And we also have a book, Grace and Eclipse by Zane Hodges on eternal rewards. And Lucas Kitchen has one too,
I was just
right?
going to say, Lucas has a book on eternal rewards available at our website. And it's called Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. So this is a very exciting, interesting area of theology that's not talked about very much because most churches and denominations have their view of the afterlife all wrong. It all comes from medieval theology and it's not very biblical and they don't even really believe that there's going to be a real kingdom where Jesus is ruling forever with nations on earth. And they reject all that stuff. And
right.
So you'll never hear about it in church, which is horrible pastoral malpractice. Because that's right. That's
pastoral malpractice?
Yeah,
is this a thing?
Okay. Absolutely. That's what comes when you don't preach the Word of God. So you should get into a church that believes and preaches the Word of God so you can hear about this kind of thing. Well, just to tie it up, but what are some final thoughts here?
Well, I would say, look, you're not competing against anybody. You're to do the best you can do. God has given you a certain amount of time, talent, and treasure. And he is going to hold you accountable for how you have invested your life. And so, live your life for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we've got another fascinating question about water baptism, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.